Joining us for episode 6 of My Life in Football, in association with Square Media and Repos Retail Solutions, is a great friend of mine, Mr. Mark Morsley, of course, manager of Needham Market, Leiston, AFC Sudbury in his time, and many, many more. In this episode, we talk about his career on and off the pitch and some of his ideas going forward in another great episode of My Life in Football. Hope you enjoy this one.
Well, welcome to My Life in Football and joining me today. And, well, absolutely living legend in my eyes. One of the nicest guys, again, that I've met in non-league football, Mark Morsley. And Mark, over the moon for you to join us today. And you're looking absolutely 100%, mate.
Yes, David, it's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to talk to you because you really are a legend in non-league football, my friend. So it's but no, it's great. Thanks for, asking me to come on this what will hopefully be an interesting story of my football career. It might be interesting, might not. We'll have to wait.
So, Mark, I mean, where did it? You know, always the first question. But I mean, where did it actually all start for you in football?
My mum would say kicking something around in my pram when I was that young. It's kind of I've always been a great. I've loved the game my whole life. I've loved the game, and but yeah, I mean, playing youth football, when I was 17, I had a badly broken leg. I was playing for a local team. I'm told that on the day there was some professional scouts watching this particular game, and I'm not convinced I was actually good enough to play a pro game day, but what it was you know, we're talking 1980 now, and I was a left back used to bomb on, you know, in them days, the fullbacks were like short centre halves. They never went forward, you know, that's how football was, 4-4-2, four guys at the back. So I used to bomb on and I suppose I just caught the eye, but on this particular day, my slow centre halves got caught, I went around the back, tackled the guy, he came over the ball, went for the middle of my shin. And that was basically, in them days, you didn't get pinned or anything like that. You just got a plaster on for 9 months. And so, you know, it was, but listen, I don't ever think I'd have made it in the game. But I just enjoyed playing. And I enjoyed playing locally. I live in a place called Manningtree, and I played for a local team in the Essex and Suffolk Board League called Mistley United, or Lawford Lads, two teams. And I just liked playing the game and liked playing with my mates. And I was more ambitious as a manager than I ever was as a player because I was just happy to. In them days, also, Sunday morning football was a big thing. I know like now Sunday morning football has kind of died a death, I think it's fair to say. But in them days, if I'd gone off to play for a Harwich or a Clacton or whatever, and I'm not saying I could have done, but if I had done, I wouldn't have been able to play on a Sunday morning. And Sunday morning football was a great crack. And then you have a few beers afterwards, you know. And I think actually my football playing career did revolve around having a few beers, to be fair, you know. And I loved every minute of it. But I was, from a very early age, Dave, I was, you know, I was a captain of a football team. I was a guy the manager would talk to. I had quite outspoken views. I think I'm quite outspoken, full stop. But I had quite outspoken views on the game. And I think that I was always destined to become a football manager, more than a football coach, and obviously that was the case.
So, I mean, from that sort of disappointment, I mean, where did you sort of, you know, football career sort of look at then? Was it a case of you sort of thinking to yourself, well, look, you know, I'm going to have to leave it for a bit, or did you get into sort of coaching and managing quite early?
No, I played again when I could, but I didn't play for a year because, as I said, in them days, you know, coming back from a broken leg was a little bit of a lottery. You know, the hospital pushed it back together, put a plaster on from the top of my leg down to my toe, and I hobbled around on that, you know, for nearly a year. So I got back into playing. I can actually, well, that sounds strange, thing, certain things stick in your mind for your life, and I can remember my very first game back. And before the game, thinking, am I going to be able to tackle someone? But then when it happened, I didn't realise it happened. And I tackled someone, I thought, oh my God, I've just done it. And then you're away. So So I just enjoyed playing, but I didn't, as I said, I was normally picked to be the captain of the team. I was quite vocal and organising on the pitch. I'm quite an organising guy actually in my work life as well, Dave. So, but it was probably, I was probably early 30s when I started being a player manager or involved with the team. So I was always in, I loved the game, was interested in the game, and that's kind of how it developed. I managed at board league level quite successfully for a few years with Mr. United particularly. So that was how it all started. There was always an interest, and I loved the game. I loved to play the game, but I also loved the organisation and the management side, which is obviously led to, my, to what I did later on.
So was it, did you sort of just sort of fall into the manager, that first manager's job, that player manager's job? Was it a sort of...
I'll tell you exactly what happened. You know, over the many, many years of the game, I've met many, many great people. And there was a chairman of Mr. United Football Club when I was playing there, a chap called Bert Frost, and unfortunately he's not with us anymore, but a little short guy, very passionate. I love Bert, absolutely love Bert. And Mr. Reserves got relegated out of the Essex and Suffolk Border League. In them days, the Border League was a lot stronger than it is now. And that was because in them days, there wasn't all these other feeder leagues. You know, you went from the Border League to Eastern Counties, one division, and then you go to Isthmian, one division, you know, then Vauxhall Conference, and then in the fourth division. So there wasn't a league sort of right there. So it was a stronger league. But Mr. Reserves got relegated out of the Border League into a local league. And poor old Bert was distraught. You know, it's like my club, my reserve side. So he said to me, would I become player manager of Missy Reserves? And I said, yeah. And we did really well. Where I got a few players that I knew, brought a few youngsters through, played a bit myself, and we won that league and got back into the Border League. So that was kind of, and I think I learned that in a very early stage about the importance of planning for a season, playing the long game, you know what I mean, rather than trying to, and I think I haven't won many cups in my career, but I've won quite a few leagues, and I think I learned that then about the importance of the longer game and not. So we got promoted, and so that was my first success, and from then on I took my Misty first team for a while, and my first step into non-league football was at Harwich and Parkeston. I'd been quite successful with Misty first team in the Border League, and they had a vacancy at Harwich and Parkeston, which I applied for. And through that application, I met a legend at Harwich and Parkeston, a guy called Tony Armstrong, who's still the chairman and has become a lifelong friend, really. But I didn't get the job, but they gave a job to a guy called Steve McGavin. The name you might know, Steve McGavin, he was a pro and he's still involved in the game. I think he works for Aston Villa as a recruitment guy. But so Steve was player manager and he struggled a bit with the organisation. And so early in that season, they said, well, I'll come and be his assistant. So that was my first job in non-league football, was assistant manager to Steve McGavin at Harwich and Parkeston. And from then on, I thought, yeah, I want to get involved at this level. You know, this is that floated my boat. It really did, you know. So, Steve lost his job. He didn't quite go as he wanted, and I was given the opportunity to manage the team that season. And Tony, the chairman, came with me and to see if I was up to the job. Because fundamentally, I'd been managing at Border League level, and this was quite a big jump, you know. And I was. Because I've never lacked, not short of confidence, Dave. I think you know that as well as anybody. And I wanted the job, and we did really well. But unfortunately, Tony had a bit of a heart scare, and the club then made a decision that they hadn't said enough of me. And a guy called Mitchell Springer was playing for us, and Mitch was a great footballer, and they made him manager and made me assistant manager. But that dynamic didn't work. So the following season, I wasn't involved with the first team, but I took over Harwich Parkeston Reserves, who were back in the Border League. And that team was, you know, over the years, one of the things I think I'll be remembered for as a football manager is I've always been able to give young players a chance, and I've always wanted to play a certain way. And I had 10 games in charge of Harry's reserves, and Harry's under 18s were managed by another great person I've met in my life, a chap called Mick Formoy, who was a man years ahead of his game, of his time in terms of his knowledge, and he preached possession. He taught me the importance of keeping the football, because when you've got the ball, they can't score. And he was good like that. And so he ran the under-18s. I played a lot of under-18s in Harry's reserves. And I was manager for 10 games. We won 9 out of 10. But I left because I was offered the Needham Market job the first time, which is back. It's just 20 years ago. So that was kind of that was my first proper first team manager's job at Needham Market.
So when you're in a job like that though, Mark, and you know, and you've got a trust of, you know, the owner, etc., and the owner gets taken ill, and then somebody else comes in and takes over, and then all of a sudden you haven't got that trust. How does that affect a manager or a young manager, you know, in that, you know, sort of mindset, you know, because all of a sudden you're doing an okay job with the other guy, another guy comes in and sort of says, well, we don't think you're up for it, and put some. Does that actually put you back down the ladder a little bit in your own mind?
It all depends on what your self-belief is. And I've never been short of believing in myself. And I could understand the decision. You know, I'd managed a team with Tony for about 5 games. Are they going to trust a guy who basically has come out of a lower league, you know, to take over? Because Harrison Parks and them days were quite a big football club. I mean, they've got a great history. And one day, hopefully, they'll go back there again. But I was okay with it. I was disappointed because I knew I could do the job and I wanted the job, and I made no bones of that fact. So I was always confident I'd be able to do it. And so for me, Dave, it's never, I never dwell on the things that go wrong. I'm always looking for the next plus and the next achievement and the next journey and the next, you know, challenge. And I enjoyed that time with the Heritage Reserves, but the Needham Market job was, you know, they at that time they were at the bottom of step 7, which I don't know what the name of that league was then. And you know, it was just a great fit.
I mean, let's be honest, when anybody talks about yourself, you know, and people ask, you know, name a club, I would assume, definitely for me, that Needham Market becomes the top of my list before Sudbury as such in my mind, and maybe not in yours, but when somebody mentions your name, the first sort of club that pings up in your mind is Needham Market, for an obvious reason, which we'll go into a bit later on, because of a certain season more than anything else, which was due to this day probably one of the best seasons of football I've ever been part of.
Yeah, I Needham Market Football Club is in my blood. As simple as that. And I know I was at Leicester and at Sudbury, and some great other times elsewhere, and I've got a lot of good friends. But you know, even at Sudbury or at Leicester, after the game, the first result I looked for was Needham Market. And I've made lifelong friends in that football club. I mean, Sue, my other half, love her dearly, she's still season ticket holder at Needham Market. She goes, you know, and she's been, and my mum used to go, she would take my mum, and it's such a friendly club. It's such a great football club. And what they've achieved, you know, 20 years ago, I went there's one stand and there's two men, one with his dog, and that's the support base at Needham Market, you know. And to see that football club now is a revelation to so many people at that football club, you know. In particular, the chief executive, Graham Emerson, who's unfortunately a little bit unwell at the moment, but we wish him well because he's a really great guy. Amongst other people who are there, the Nick Francises and the Richard Easleys and the Mark Easleys and the Keith Nuns, and I could go on and on and on, but it is a club that is a part of me.
Definitely. So when you joined them for the first time, Mark, I mean, what year was that?
2002. Yeah, 2002. That's a hell of a long time ago when I think about it. But No, I went. I was. I applied for the job. Funnily enough, I'd watched them play at Harwich. They played Harwich in a league game, and Harwich won 8-4 or something like that. Harwich was 5-up at half time, and then they got back to 5-4. It was a crazy game, and the manager lost his job a couple of weeks later. And I applied for the position, and I met Graham Emerson and Nick Francis, and they've both become really good friends of mine now. But I met them at Graham's firm to be interviewed for the job, and little did I know that after about 5 minutes, they'd made eye contact and agreed that I was a man for the job. But for an hour, I told them about this is what I felt they could do. I talked about their geographic position, about, you know, how we could develop with these youngsters, how we could do this, how we could do that, and had they thought about this, and had they thought about that, and all sorts. And it was, but as I say, it was a right fit, and so I got that job. I brought a guy to work with me called Paul Skinley, who I just have known over the years. He's become a great mate. He's, Skins is my son's godfather, and we worked together there, and obviously at Sudbury as well. And it was interesting. It was an interesting job. And there was a good team there as well. Goalkeeping coach Dave Hunt, another great guy, and Ian Verno was the kit man. And Vernie has become a really good mate, and he's as mad as a hat and all the rest of it. But he tells the story really well of the first game we had, which was Ely away. So we're in the dressing room, Ely away, and I'm organising with head of training session, pulling it up, and then I'm basically putting up just charts to say, you know, at corners, you're the front post, you're the back post, you're going to pick him up, blah, blah, blah. And Vernie tells the story. He's looking around the dressing room with all these guys and looking at these, and I have never seen anything like it before. It's like, what is going on here? Do you know what I mean? So there was quite a turnover of players in the early stages where they were good guys, but they just weren't going to take us where we wanted to go. So, and we struggled really to start with. I played a lot of the younger team, the youth team, and all sorts. But they stuck with me, and which turned out to be good, a good thing, I think.
So, I mean, was it automatic promotion in the first year, or did
you... No. The first year was about staying up. Mm-hmm. And it was about, and I just said to them, I think I can do something here, but I need time. And I want to play. And they were completely fine with me. So first year was getting in the football club, avoiding relegation, which we did. We had some good wins and had some bad days. We had some bad days, Dave, as well, I've got to say. The second season there was a great season because we were, this was step six, so it was Eastern Counties Division One. And we had a good team and we played good football, and we were battling with a team called Ipswich Wanderers, who at the time were managed by two guys, one of which was Jason Dizell, who obviously is an ex-Ipswich player, ex-Spurs player, and we had a right battle with him. We won a county cup that year. We lost in the League Cup final, and we were promoted in second place. Wanderers won it. Although we beat them four times that season, they won it, and we were second place and got promoted. So we were then gone to step five, which is the highest that Needham had ever been. Mm. And it was really that season, Dave, where the club, I think we created something there. People got involved, and I think at that stage they were ready to move on, you know. And there was a bit of money around, the crowds were better, the clubhouse was busy, and they started to improve the facility. And that season was the first season when, wasn't the first season, but clubs never got promoted. That level, you're talking about teams like Lowestoft, like Sudbury, like Bury, like Leicester, you know. No one went to the Eastern League in them days, you know. But that season was when the first restructure happened, and there was two promotion places. And right from the off, I was on the BBC Radio Suffolk, and I said, our aim is to get promoted. We were going to go up to step four. That was our aim. And, like, you know, eyeballs. He's a bit flashed for him. A lot of stuff. There was 1,000 people there, and they had to win the league, but they weren't going to go up. If we'd got a draw or a win, we would have been in third place, which would have promoted us with either Sudbury or Bury. Because it was, and as it happened, they beat us 3-1. We played really well that day. It was a great day. But they won the league, and the two teams that won up were Sudbury and Bury Town in second and third place. And that was where my work with Sudbury started, because the manager left, and they went to step four into the new Isthmian. You know, the Isthmian League was, who was sponsored then? Anyway, it doesn't matter. It was an Isthmian Division One North, because they had a North Division and a South Division, and I was offered the Sudbury job, which was probably one of the biggest jobs in non-league football at the time. Sudbury had the Vars, we lost in the Vars final 3 years on the trot, a big club, and it was a heavy heart to leave Needham, but I was a youngish. Very ambitious guy, and so I went to Sudbury, which was, you know, and left, you know, Needham Market.
Was that after, you know, when you joined Sudbury, was that after that just lost the
yeah, because they'd lost in the Vars final of the previous three seasons. I was at that's the previous season. I played at Spurs, because Wembley was being redeveloped at Spurs Ground. I went to the game. And actually, when I went to Sudbury, when they offered me, the win in the Vars was that they're like big, because Sudbury Town in 1989 had got to the Vars final at Wembley and lost, and then AFC Sudbury got their threat, and it was like there that they, that was the one. And the chairman said to me, "We can stay at, because you didn't have to go up. We could stay at step five and have another crack at the Vars." And I said to him, "If I want to stay at step five, I want to start Needham Market." That's simple as that. And I wasn't interested in the Vars. I was only interested in taking, you know, getting Sudbury successful and going up the leagues, which was their ambition. So
how did you get the guys' heads up from that? Some, I would assume some of the players might have been there for three years in a row. But I mean, the players that you've got in there, and there must have been sort of heads on the chest type thing that, you know, even though they were going up and
It was an interesting one in many ways. I mean, first and foremost, me being the point manager at Sudbury at the time split the crowd at Sudbury. And as Sudbury fans have never liked me, never took to me. And it's an absolute true story that our first game of the season, home to Flatwell Heath, when we were walking out, some of the Sudbury fans were booing us, because Paul Skinny came with me. So it wasn't necessarily a popular, because I was a bit vocal as well in them days, and you know, I'd have a tear up with various. I was a bit mad, I suppose, but
hey, surely not. No.
But you know, but we went to Sudbury. I knew the team, I knew who I wanted to keep, and I knew from Needham who I wanted to take. And the team I built was really a merge of my Needham team and the existing Sudbury team. So and that was a good. We were good, mate. We were a good side. We were a good side. And however, the first season, it was a remarkable season in many, many ways. In that, you know, I was there for 2 years, Dave. And both years, I came against two massive football clubs that we were never going to overcome to get promoted. In the first year, it was AFC Hornchurch, who was, I think they'd reformed and they were going for, you know, they're obviously, Hornchurch were a big club, weren't they? And are a big club. And the first year we got into the playoffs. But then the second year was the year where Dartford were coming up through the ranks. And Dartford had been switched from the South Division to the North Division, because obviously they're very close to the river. And Dartford had gone into their new ground. They get 1,000 people. You know, it was quite a. And we we were with them all the way until we just didn't have the big enough squad, and one or two key injuries, and they beat us by a couple of points at the end, and we went to the playoffs and we lost to Canberra. So you know that was kind of the story of the 2 years there, which was I've got to say was great. We played some fantastic football. I've got to say we're good boys, good lads.
So what happened for you then? Where did we go from Sudbury the first time?
Okay, well, after the 2 years there, it was apparent that our squad wasn't big enough. Mm. Okay, and we had 16 players. That's what we had, and you know we were playing. I think we played 67 games the first season and 66 games the second season. I mean, when I played, that's almost two seasons, you know. And I needed two more players, and I identified two more players, and I met with the board of directors and said, look, guys, I need another 10 grand in my budget here because we need these players in. And, you know, in them days, I was, as I said, a bit mad. I was doing quite well in business. That was at the time when I put a bit of my own money through company sponsorship. But they wouldn't give me the 10 grand. And I couldn't understand it because we were so successful. And it was affordable. That wasn't, the club wasn't in any financial problems. And so I left. I resigned because I thought, you know, I think they thought, we won't give it to him, he'll put it in himself. And I thought, you're taking the piss out of me, you know what I mean? And even then, as much as I want to be successful, I have left football clubs when I feel I've been treated unfairly, and I left and walked away from the best job in East Anglia probably at the time, but it wasn't right. And that's been the case with other times I've left clubs when things have not been right, you know, and there you go.
So what happened? Did you just find another job quite quickly then, or was it a case of just concentrating on your business for a bit?
Oh, well, we were busy. We started a family. I had three children then. They were quite young. My son was only one. I had three kids, Ella, Lily and Zach. And Brantham Athletic had just got back into Eastern Canada, so what was deemed as semi-professional football. And the chairman there, a chap called Peter Crowhurst, his great friend and a great, great guy, said to me, Mark, you know, can you give us a bit of experience coming in as be a chief executive, give me a bit of experience on getting us used to that league, that level, you know, food contacts and whatever. And I thought, yeah, that sounds, you know, I was a bit paid off with the Sudbury thing. I thought, yeah, that job, I like the idea of that job. So I took it on with gusto. And brought a few guys into the club, but wasn't involved in the football team as such, although I recruited some players, and that was a problem for me. And I found out in later years that not being at the cutting edge wasn't right. And I stayed there until January. And my old friend Tony Armstrong at Harrington Parkson came and said, Mark, we're bottom of the league. We could get relegated out of the what was then Step 5, you know, Eastern County Premier. Will you come back and try and save us? And I said yes. And so I went back to Harwich for half a season, and it was a mad 3 months, I've got to say. But we tore it up. We had a proper go. We had a proper go, and we stayed up. And it was brilliant in many ways. And we got a real buzz with the support.
You didn't use Sam Allardyce, did you?
Well, yeah, couldn't. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's in my career, I've had relegation battles and I've had success, and in many ways, neither of them are different. Winning a league and avoiding relegation, it's about achieving something over a period of time. It's not that different, really. And it was good. And so it was agreed that I was going to stay the next season at Harwich, and they were going to really throw some money at it and raise some money against the ground, which they owed and whatever. And it was all, you know, we were all planning to go. And then in the summer, the chairman phoned me up and said, we've decided we can't take the risk we don't want to risk getting ourselves in a debt. And I was like, well, hold on, guys, you know, like, we've got 100 on the gate, we can get more on the gate. I didn't think it was a risk. They thought it was a risk. So I said, fine, it's not for me. So again, I left at a club because, you know, I just felt I'd be, you know, what we've been told wasn't the case. So what happened then was a chap who's become a really good friend of mine, unbelievably good coach, a guy called Danny Laws, who's been around football, he's the academy director of Sudbury now. He took over my job at Needham when I left to go to Sudbury. And he'd gone with a lot of young players that come in, and I think they'd done quite well. A bit around organisation. Danny's a very good coach. He wanted to coach the players. He didn't want to talk to the press. He didn't really want to go and talk to players. He didn't really want to go to committee meetings at the club. And I joined them as general manager, was the job. And I worked closely with him. So I had an involvement in the dressing room, an involvement on the touchline. And we felt each other out early on, both quite egotistic, both quite big characters. But actually, it worked really well. And we have become really tight. And I love that. He's a top man. And we won the league. We should have won the Vars. We should have definitely got to the Vars final. We lost to Wroxham. I think it was the semi-final. But we won the league, and that was the aim. And we got promoted, and that's when Needham went to step four. And I had that year with Danny, which I enjoyed immensely. The only downside was that I wasn't the main man. I was important to the team, I believe, and I think Danny would say that. And certainly, I was able to recruit some good lads, some good players. So in the summer, Leyston came calling. And I was taken for a meal with Andy Crisp, the chairman, and Peter Mayer, the vice chairman. And I was, they sold me what they wanted to achieve at Leicester. And they'd committed financially and with a lot to that football club, but they'd never managed to get into step. And they were step five. So I was going, staying in the level I'd been with Needham, but they sold me the dream of taking them up the leagues. And I've got to say, they were very, very supportive. We had two great years there, back to back promotions. Took them from step five to step three. I brought a guy with me, as a guy called Steve Ball, who's now the sporting director of Colchester United. He was Colchester United manager for a while. Ball, he was a character I knew. He'd lost love of football. And I met him in a hotel in Deepestaff at Suffolk Bump somewhere, and we clicked. And he came to Leyston with me, and Lee Norfolk, who was another great lad, and played for me at Needham, and was a great coach, ex-pro as well. And Baldy was with us for 2 years as head coach, and it was a mad 2 years, Dave. We tore it up, mate. We were good, and it was mad. And on the back of that, he got back involved at Colchester, and he left in year three. He went to Colchester, and I think I played a part in that, getting his enthusiasm back, and I still talk to him.
What year was that then, Mark? What did you make up, Lisa?
2010, 2011, I was there for nearly three years. So I went in 2010, 2011, we won step five, went up into the Isthmian North, and then that was 2011, 2012. We won that league, then went to Isthmian Premier in the 2012. So, yeah.
Any fun times in that, in with Leeson, only matches that you can remember that stick in your mind?
Oh, crumbs. I think I've got to say that. In the second year in Isthmian North, there was a few tasty teams around them days, you know, and we were as a team, we were good. I wouldn't say we were technically as good as maybe the Needham team, the Sudbury teams, but we were tough, mate. We were tough. And we were solid at the back. And, you know, a lot of these sort of like Greater London teams, they wanted sort of like, oh, these old boys are coming from Suffolk, you know. We could look after ourselves, you know, but we could play a bit when we needed to. But we were a powerful side. We destroyed teams with a press. We were good at set pieces. We worked on those set pieces and we played a high tempo game and we had a terror with a lot of teams, you know. So we won the promotion to it was us and Enfield to get into step three. Enfield had just gone back to their ground where they are now, and obviously they had great history. And we played Potter's Bar on a Tuesday night, and we needed to win the league, and we won 5-0, something like that, you know. And, I remember the Enfield guys who we got to know. We had obviously a couple of battles with them. I think we drew and lost to them. They were a good side. And a few of them had turned up to watch the game, hoping that Potter's Bar could do them a favour. And I just remember seeing them walking around the patch line just before half time when we were 3-0 up and you know, the party had started. And it was good times. It was good times. And we're in step three, Isthmian Premier, you know, which, Jesus Christ, it's just laced, you know. And
I mean, with that though, I mean, you hear a lot of the teams, especially around near here, the likes of, you know, the Harlows and you know, and teams around our sort of area around here, Ware and Chesson and all that, always sort of seem to have an issue with travelling all the way to Suffolk and to Norfolk and all the rest of it. But of course, from the opposite way round, how was it sort of travelling wise when you bounce up into sort of, you know, into the Isthmian leagues and you've got those travels?
Yeah, I'd heard those moans, you know, Dave, over the years. I think to myself, you guys come to Suffolk once, we're going down to you every other game, you know what I mean? So, but I never, ever, have ever had a concern with the travel, because to my mind, it comes with the territory. If you want to be involved at a high level, you travel. That's what it is. But that often determines individual players, how, you know, what sort of footballers they are. Mm. You know, because you know, if they don't want to do the travel and they haven't got the ambition to and fair enough, they might just even fine. So I never had a problem with it. I've been running my own business for 30 years. So, you know, I'd be getting in my car at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, leave my office, pop over to the kids or whatever, or I was actually, by that time I was divorced. So my kids were with me sometimes, with their mum sometimes, and I'd be jumping in the car at 4 o'clock and my mum would pop over and I'd say, "Oh, kids," and I'd jump in the car and off we'd go to wherever on a, you know, Bognor Regis or, you know, there's some massive journeys, you know. But I didn't mind, I loved it. I loved it. It was all about. And Bawley had left then, year three. And a guy called Steve Foley came in as my head coach. Steve is a legend in football. He's a really good friend and just one of the great. At step three, and we were getting smashed. I mean, we were getting. It was a different. You know, step five and step four, there's not a huge difference in them days. There wasn't. I think there is now. I think step four is a lot better than step five. But step three was a jump. Mate, it was a jump. And we didn't know what hit us. And we struggled. And our goalkeeper was a great guy. But he was a bit out of his depth. And I signed a guy called Danny Potter, who you may not know, may know Potsy. He was a pro at Cambridge. He was playing for Eastbourne Borough, and I signed him. He transferred to Leicester, and he was a catalyst of us improving, because he he was a big larger life character. He's at Sudbury now as a goalkeeper coach, and he's a we all talk about, because as you know, I'm a Man City fan, as everyone knows, I'm sure, and we talk about Emerson, the goalkeeper at City, about his distribution. Well, Potsy had that distribution, like, in, you know, he had, his left foot was unbelievable, and he could ping a ball 3/4 of the length of the pitch. And we changed our style of play. We pushed up very early. I've always played with wide players. And Potsy would bring the ball out, and the first pass would be from Potsy to someone, and we started winning games. And all of a sudden, we got ourselves to sixth in the league, Dave. This is about February, you know. We thought we were sixth in the league. And there's a lot of speculation, you know, could we get a third promotion? Could we get, because there's playoffs in them days, of course, you see as well. And and I'm not going to, when I've left football clubs over the years for reasons that I've kept to myself, I've never been one who's gone on the social media and slagged the club, because I think you belittle yourself by doing that. If there's been disagreements, they happen, and you move on. And I just think with Leicester then, I think the club were a bit worried that we might be successful. And Potsy was sold back to Eastbourne Borough without me knowing. and I left. I resigned and left. That was kind of a shame, because, you know, but the lads who we took over to the end of the season, I think Leicester finished a credible mid-table, and I think that my nearly three years there were good years for that football club. And certainly I know when I've bumped into supporters, they're all very, very complimentary, and they always have a chat. And I did like the supporters at Leicester. I did like them. They were nice people. And there you go.
So what year is that? Does that take us up to, Mark? What year was
it? Well, 2013. Mm-hmm. So 2013, I've left Leicester, and quite soon after that, my old mate Danny Laws is on the phone. He's still at Needham. They're obviously in the same. They're at step four. How do you fancy next season coming back as manager? I'll be head coach. Let's work together again. Great. Ideal. Going to go back to Needham, the club I loved and still do. And I'm going to work with Lawsy, which would be great. And I was looking forward to that. But with a bizarre twist, as is always the case in non-league football, Leicester were going to get Danny Laws to be their manager. And I think basically they made him an offer that he really couldn't refuse. His wife was, I think she was trying, she was a college governor, to a change of career. And Dan said, I've got to take the job, Mark. And I said, mate, go. Which worked quite nicely for me. Not that I did not want to work with Danny, but the guys who were with me at Leicester, so that was Steve Foley, as I said, Lee Norfolk was coach, and then Nathan Munson, who was one of my lieutenants, he played in goal for me at Harry's, and he's been a goalkeeping coach, and again, really good guy. They were like not required at Needham. So the end, I finished that season, there was like 10 games to go, and they said, will you take over early? Which I did, and I said, fine. With one condition, we weren't going to go up, we weren't going to go down, we're mid-table. I said, right, with one condition, because they'd just launched their academy then. And I said, there's one condition, and that is that I want to play all these kids and see what we've got. See what we've got in that team, you know, and we played, we brought a lot of youngsters through, and we lost every game by one, and I loved every minute of it. And that doing that, unearthed probably contentious to say, probably the best ever Needham Market footballer, a guy called Kieran Morfield, who was playing right wing and wherever. And I brought him into the side. He played middle midfield, and then he's gone back to centre half. And I was asked to pick the best all time 11 by the East Anglian Daily Times 2 years ago, and Morfield was in that. Was in that team, and he's still there. He's still centre half. He's captain, and he is a proper lad and a proper player. And he was unearthed. And so that was the start of that 5 years with Needham, which you're going to talk about now.
Oh, yes, we are, yeah. Because this is the season that we're now into that season, 2014, 2015, I think, isn't it? That's the season.
Yeah, 2014, 2015, yeah.
If anybody doesn't know what happened, it's Ismi and North in one.
Actually, no. Actually, it wasn't 14-15. It's 15-16.
15-16.
Because my first 4 year at Needham, we got into the playoffs at the last game of the season by beating Tyrrell 6-1, which actually, and I think it might have been Enfield who missed out because of that game or something like that. And there was like conspiracy theories and all sorts. But we got into the playoffs and lost Wigan. We played Wigan and lost. But we were ready to go up. It was 14-15. Take it away, Dave.
So this season, it was probably one of the most incredible seasons of all time. It was the banter going backwards and forwards and everything else. Now, for people that don't know what actually physically happened in that, I'll read you out the top two positions in the Ismi and North that year. And I don't think people will probably come back to us and say, oh, it's happened before. But for me, this was something that was like almost a one-off season. And of course, I do stuff for Harlow Town, and this was where it was. So in second place that year was Harlow Town. Played 46, won 31, drawn 10, lost 5, 108 goals for, 58 against, 103 points. Now, they finished second to Marks Needham Market, who played 46, won 33, drawn 5, lost 8, 101 goals for, 41 against, and 104 points. And Harlow didn't get promoted because they got knocked out 3-2 in the semi-final at home by Thurrock. The fact of the matter is that the long and short of the story, really, Mark, was it? I mean, it was almost every week. I don't know if it was the same sort of situation for fans at Needham Market and yourself. You know, I was doing the tannoy for Harlow at the time, and I was literally backwards and forwards. Like, the first thing you were looking at all the time was your score and our score. And I think we swapped the lead.
We knew every game how you were getting on. And you knew every game how we were getting on. And the supporters would be saying, Gaffer, Harlow losing 1-0, you know. Gaffer, they're winning, you know. This is during the game. It was probably for me the most enjoyable season I've ever had.
And the storyline, of course, of it as well was the fact that the last game of the season was Harlow away to Needham Market. And that was
the last game.
Yeah, last but one game of the season. Yeah.
You came to Needham.
Yeah.
There was 1,000 people there or something. 900 people there.
There was.
And you guys came in, and what a game it was.
It was incredible.
We absolutely battered you in the first half, and we're two up at half time. Should have been six. We'd have won the league. Second half, you absolutely battered us. It ended up 2-2, didn't it?
Yeah.
And we
missed a chance right.
Oh, my God. Right in front of your supporters. Right in front. And they all spilled on the pitch. The horn collapsed. They thought, and the cup. It's like, the ball didn't go in.
It's like, who do you not want the ball to fall to? And it was Gray Pope, you know. And and he put it wide, and it was like,
put it wide.
I think the twist of it was on the following week, you had Chatham, if I remember rightly.
Chatham away.
Yeah, and we had Thamesmead at home. Yeah. And at one stage, we were 1-0 up and you were drawing still. And of course, everybody was going, whoa, we know we're going to win the league. And all of a sudden, it just went ping, 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 ping. And he won quite easily. But it was one of those games. That game, though, will live long in the memory because it was an incredible game.
And it's a shame actually because the game at Harlow is on video. I've seen it on YouTube.
I've seen it. I recorded it.
Yeah, I know you did. Yeah, that's right. And that was a great game as well. But it's a shame that game at Needham was never recorded because it would have been a. And I know. You know, old stages like you and me, Dave, of non-league football, will reminisce these games and say how incredible they were. Because time. You know, blurs your memory, but this game was a game of football. It was a proper game of football. I mean, it must have, everyone was getting booked. I was having a tear up with Chappers on the touchline. It was bonkers.
There was tear ups in your ballroom afterwards.
And I loved every minute of it. And after the game, you know, me and Chappers, we always got on well. Two big lads, because we were both big lads. We both wore a shirt and tie, didn't we? You know, good day. But we went to Chatham, and we were never going to lose that game. Ian Westlake, who played for us for 2 years, the ex-pro, it was his last game of football. He was never going to play football again after that. And I just remember looking at him in the dressing room before. You've never seen anyone more focused. And he was unplayable. Mm. On that day, unplayable. And he got the first goal. He calmed the nerves down, walked through a few players, smashed at the roof of the net. One of the best goals I've ever seen in non-league football. And then 5 minutes later, the best goal I've ever seen in non-league football was scored by a chap called Michael Brothers, who's a great lad, Michael. And that was a cross. It was an overhead kick from the outside of the 18-yard box. And it was never recorded on anyone's phone. It's just in our heads, that goal. And it was so, you know, two unbelievable goals. And we were chatting and had it there. We won 5-0. And it was a great day for the club. You know, so many people had worked so hard, Dave. And there's so many great pictures of that game. And you know, grown men were crying because it was just a great day. Because Newmarket Football Club, I mean, not many, you know, that season with Harlow, you know, we talk about it all the time. We'll talk about it till our days are over. That the intensity of every game was up there, mate.
Yeah. And of course, it was one of those things where, you know, you looked at those playoff sides underneath you. You know, it was Harlow, Thurrock, Sudbury against Brentwood Town, and probably you would have picked Brentwood Town as not being the team that would have got through and got up, and they were the ones that actually did. You know, and I think on the day that was probably more the fact of what you just said, the intensity of the games between Harlow and you know, and Needham and the Chase and all the rest of it. Then you play sort of Thurrock in them days had to take the play against Harlow because there was an issue between the two clubs at one stage just before that. So of course we end up losing that. Then they were then on the higher beating us. Went to play Brentwood, and it ended up 5-0 to Brentwood, I think, in the end, in that final. Yeah. It was crazy.
They came with a late run, didn't they?
Yeah.
Wasn't the manager the guy who went on to, I didn't know, but I can't even think. He went on to the managed Dartford, I think.
Flanagan, was it Adam?
Flanagan, yeah, that's right. He was a good lad. And I think they, because Brentwood wasn't very nice in them days. I mean, it's improved now. I know. Last time I went there, I was impressed with it. But in them days, that, you know, the place wasn't very nice, and they did come up with the blind side. But yeah, as you say, Thurrock and Sudbury, of course, you know, there was a you know, big battle going on there with us and them, and obviously with my history with them and the way it all finished. So yeah, it was a good year. Good year.
So bouncing on, you went into the Prem. I mean, how did that go first year?
It was another relegation battle. Me and Westlake had gone, obviously packed up. We signed a guy called Chris Hogg, who's now assistant manager at MK Dons. He played for Ipswich Town, but he played against Celtic and Rangers, and he came and signed. He'd got a job at Ipswich as a full-time coach, so we lost him. And we brought a few youngsters in, and it was a relegation battle the whole season. Really, it was a tough league. We were playing a certain way, which we had to shelve. I know Steve Foley was with me then, and you know we were good on the eye the way we played. We played good in entertainment football. We used to like getting down the sides, but all of a sudden it's like, okay, we're in a relegation battle here. We'll just park those football beliefs to one side, and we'll just dog it out to get points, which we did. And we played, the last game of the season was a fantastic game of the season. Dulwich Hamlet we played at home, because Dulwich, massive football club, the support was unbelievable. And we played them at home and we beat them like 2-1 or something, which guaranteed us staying up. They were already in the playoffs, so their supporters were right bunch because they liked us because we were a nice, you know, they didn't like a lot of other teams, but they liked us. So they didn't care about the result, and we guaranteed we stayed up. So the first year was, as I said, like the year with Harwich, we had avoid relegation, but it was a stressful year. I've got to say it was a tough year, and you know, but we stayed up, and then the next year was magnificent. It was a magnificent season where we played unbelievable football. We were top of the Isthmian Prem at Christmas. We had some unbelievable games, Bogdan away, and all, you know, we basically ran out of goals. What basically happened was, a bit like Sudbury some years before, we were using our academy, bringing players through, and we were just tired out at the end of the season. The last few games, we were trying to stay and get in the playoffs, and you could look at there was nothing there, mate. The players had given everything, you know. And when you're 17, 18 years of age, to be that intensity, that level, it does take it out of you. And Staines away was our last game. We needed to win to get in the playoffs, and we lost. And we had nothing left, Dave. We had nothing left to give. But I was so proud of them boys. They was just so proud of how well we'd done. Really, you know, it was a tremendous season. It was a tremendous season.
I mean, how much longer was you at Needham for before moving on?
I was there 5 years, and I brought Richard Wilkins had come in. Steve Foley had gone to run the academy. Wilkins came in as my head coach. Really good guy, really successful guy. And we had another really good season at step three, winning in and around the playoffs. And unfortunately, I made a decision that I have regretted ever since, really, I've got to say. I obviously did 5 years with Needham. I loved the football club. Didn't quite know how long I was going to continue as the manager. Sudbury had had some upheavals and were looking at managers, and we basically felt, I felt that they would come and poach Richard Wilkins. And so I made a decision to the club said to me, why don't you step back, become chairman of the football club, oversee the football side, and we'll get Wilkes on a contract as first team manager, which is what happened. And I should never have done it because Wilkes was never going to go to Sudbury. he would stay and work with me for as long as I wanted to work with him. I perhaps should have had that conversation. I could look back at that and think we could have done a lot of things differently, but what I shouldn't have done was I shouldn't have packed up as manager. Because I was chairman and I was watching games. And I watched about, I hated every minute of every game. I hated it. It's my team. And I was just watching it from the stands. And it was a mistake. It was a mistake. But hey-ho, my mistake. We don't dwell on it. And then after about 10 weeks or so, on a Sunday night, the phone rings. It's Danny Laws. Now, you can never get Lawsy on a Sunday when I work with you. Even when I worked with him in Needham, you try to speak to him. Like Sunday's the day the manager's having a chat. He never answers his phone on a Sunday. My mobile phone is ringing on a Sunday night and it's Danny Laws. And I'm saying, okay, mate, what's going on? And he basically said that Sudbury wanted me to go back. And I wasn't, I can't, at the time, going through my mind, Dave, wasn't going to another club. I was just going to walk away from football. Because I didn't like watching it. But I didn't really want to go to another club and be a manager. But Sudbury was possibly one club that I would have gone to, which I did. And Danny and the hierarchy of the club, 3 times they came over to my office here and sat in this where I am at the moment at one meeting table and they sold me the belief of what was going to happen, and I was going to have a big budget, and you know, and I thought, they'd have possibly underachieved a little bit. They'd got up to step three, got relegated, back to step four, and the chairman, the vice chairman at the time, full of great ideas, and was, you know, we would telephone numbers on budgets and all sorts. And I've had big budgets over the years. I've always been able to manage a big budget. I work with money as a living, as you know, and I can deal with big players and big characters, and those things don't faze me. So I said, yeah, I'll come. So it was a big story at the time. I planned it. So I had time to drive around and physically talk to three or four of the key people at Needham, who I love dearly. I didn't want to text them or anything like that. It's never been my style. I'd rather sit and talk to them. And I went to see these people face to face, and they were, you know, and it was tough. It was, I'm not small enough man to not accept that there was. We cried, I shed tears, but I was in a bad place, Dave, not being involved. I was not a good chairman, and I was not good for the football club, and I was getting frustrated, and I wasn't the person that I'd always been. That was Tom McCann. So off we went to Sudbury. And then the first game was my birthday, October the 3rd, and it was 2017. So I went there, and Danny was obviously, their academy had done really, really well. They'd built the club up. We got the 3G pitch on the main pitch. And yeah, it was until about 3 weeks later, when the reality struck that all the money promised wasn't there. There'd been some serious calculations behind the scenes, and I'm going to say no more than that. So I said to the chief executive at the time, you know, I think they expect me to leave because I'd gone there for a reason. But I said to them, okay, I've got an idea. You back me for a number of years, and I'll bring those kids from the through that academy, and we'll, and thing about Needham years before, we'll win games, we'll lose games. It'll be a roller coaster, but you back me, and I'll help you balance the books, and I'll bring some of those lads through, and that's what we've done. And on the back of that, you know, my first game, basically, I dropped 8 first team players and brought the kids in. First game, FA Trophy at home to the team room, and you know, it was like all these experienced players and all the rest of it, and I just said, look, you're not for me, and I brought these youngsters in. I'd watched a college game in the afternoon of the Wednesday for the Saturday. Saw a few lads. Yeah, he'll play. I'm like, that's a true story. That's how it was. And we drew, went to the away game on the Wednesday night, and turned them over. I can't even make the British here somewhere. With all these youngsters, and that was how it was. And it was before the COVID situation. You know, we were bringing youngsters through. We were getting ties with pro clubs. Sold a few players to pro clubs. I got really tight with Danny and his coaching staff, and I went to, they used to go to America as part of the academy tour. They used to go do a tour in America. I went twice to America with them, and thoroughly enjoyed that time there. And the last season that the lockdown ended the season, we were, at the time, it was an 18-man squad, 15 players in the squad were basically either academy products then or come through the academy. You know, the books had been balanced and we were second in the league, and I felt we'd got somewhere. I felt we'd achieved something. And we had. There are many non-league managers, Dave, who say the same old line, and I'm not big myself up above any of them, and I'm not going to mention names, but you often hear the story, I like to play the game the right way and give youth a chance. But there ain't many who've actually done that. I have. And I think that that's one that I'm proud of, is that I've always given kids a chance. But I've also been prepared to play some old boys as well. I care. It wasn't to be after that, I'm afraid.
So, I mean, when did you decide? I mean, was it your decision to leave Sudbury in the end, or did you just, you know?
It was my decision. It was my decision. As I said, as I said to you earlier on, some people know what happened behind the scenes. It wasn't acceptable. And I'm a fair guy. I think people who know me would say I'm a fair, honest guy. And there was a wrong going on in that football club, and that's not a right to say any more than that. But that was not for me. And I left. And because of that reason, I didn't have a job to go to. You know, I think there's a few people at that football club were quite pleased that I left, because they were the same people who didn't like me, you know, 15 years before, and they didn't take to me. I was often having some bust ups with some of the supporters, which because I would be backing my players and they wouldn't. But it was like, oh yeah, Morsi's got another job, he's gonna go here, he's gonna go there. I didn't have another job. I left because for the right reasons, and I don't regret leaving. I miss being a football manager, but I did it for the right reasons, and I would do it again. But I think we did a good thing at Sudbury for those 4 years. I really do, and it was enjoyable.
So, at the minute, I mean, what footballing wise, are you doing anything at all at the moment, footballing wise?
I've watched a lot of games of all levels. It's been quite nice to go to the grounds and have a conversation with people that I've known for years, that basically when you're managing a team, you haven't got time to talk to people. I've been very lucky, you know, and I'm sort of overwhelmed by the number of people who've offered me positions, management positions, or director of football, or whatever you want to call that role. But they've not been right. I don't want to be a director of football. I want to manage a football team. I'm 57 years of age now. I've got plenty of enthusiasm still in me. I would say, in all modesty, my CV is not bad. But I'm looking for one more journey, Dave. You know, I look at Needham the first time, it was a journey to take from here to there. Sudbury was a journey. Leicester was a journey. Needham again was a journey, a wonderful journey for 5 years. Sudbury was a journey for 4 years. And I alluded to this earlier on, the successes I've had as a manager, when you look at my CV, the obvious things is promotions. I've never got to the first round proper of the FA Cup. I haven't won many cup competitions because my view is always the long game. And so if there's a football club out there, and it doesn't have to be at step three, it could be at any level, who have got the right things in place and need someone who can bring something a bit extra to the club and to the pitch, to the team. And that would be the job I would take on. I miss managing. I don't want to retire, but I don't need to do the job for the sake of it. If I did, I would be with one of the other clubs. And I said, it's not appropriate to say what those clubs are, and I'm not making it up. I've got no ego to prove. I'm not worried what people think of me. But it's not appropriate to talk about other clubs where there might be managers there who when the club was signed, it sounded me out, you know. So it wouldn't be fair to say anything. But it's been great to have that. But I haven't taken those jobs because it's not the right job. And if the right job doesn't come along, I won't be a football manager.
Yeah. So if you was offered a dream job, you know, for you, at, you know, at this present minute in time, I mean, if there was a dream job out there, you know, if say something happened at one of the clubs and this club hasn't got a manager, I mean, you know, is there a dream job out there? Would Needham Market be the dream to go back there as manager?
I clearly, as a club that I think the world of, at the moment they've had an unbelievable season. Kevin Horlock's the manager. I know Kev. He's a City legend. He's become someone I'd call a friend. So I wouldn't be appropriate to speak about that job. But listen, if Kevin Horlock gets a job at the pro game and Needham say, would you come back? Yes, of course I would, you know. But that job's not available, you know. And it's going to be a season out of the game. I've watched a lot of football. For long periods of time, I enjoyed it. In the last month or 6 weeks, I have been having a conversation with a football club again. It would be appropriate to say because for various reasons. And that's a job I'm quite fancy, but I don't think it's going to come off. And I thought, yeah, do you know what, big fella, you're ready to do it one more time. And listen, the season's almost at an end. A lot of things happen in summers. You know, if there's a job that comes available, then fine. You know, and listen, I'm not sitting here saying to you that I'm sitting by the phone and expecting to get a phone call. If there's a vacancy somewhere, I fancy it, I'll put me written application in. I'm prepared. I'm not the sort of guy who has this ego of people needs to ring you up and I can say, well, so-and-so phone me, so-and-so phone me. I've told you today about the clubs I could have gone to. I've just told me you could be having a story about my life in football. I'm not saying it because I want to say everyone's after you, because they're not. They just weren't the right jobs. But if there's a vacancy becomes available and I like the look of it, I'm happy to put my CV in and say to the chairman, I'll come in for an interview and have a chat. You know what I mean? I've no problem with that at all.
And of course, for me personally, the non-league scene will be better with you in it rather than you out of it, sir, without a shadow of a doubt whatsoever.
I think as we said off camera, is that the right word, off camera? It sounds very professional, doesn't it? A couple of people I've known in football said that there's not quite as much excitement on social media and in the press with me not involved because I'm not having tear-ups with various various chairmen of football clubs and all sorts. But hey, listen, it's part of what I do. As a football manager, Dave, I've lived the jobs, I've lived the role and loved every minute of it. And maybe will you again. But listen, if not, what a great 20 years I had. What a great career I've had, and I've met great people and worked with great people, and it's a wonderful, wonderful game. Long may it continue.
Definitely. Listen, Mark, massive thank you for joining us today. Really, really appreciate it. Hope the business is going well and hope everything goes well for you and hopefully get to see you back in the game very quickly. Because
You never know. No, it's great, Dave. I enjoyed coming on your show and talking about my life. It's always good to reminisce on those good times, and I've enjoyed reliving the famous season of Harlow because it really was a special time for both football clubs good stuff. So you take care, mate.
And you. Thanks, Mark.
Adios.
Bye-bye, mate.
Thanks, mate. Look